Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, you've got your piece of paper and your pen, hopefully, or whatever you're going to take a little note with. What I want you to do is write down how you would describe your relationship with Jesus. Just take a minute to do that. Contemplate what you see your relationship with Jesus looking like. Think about it. Write it down. Next slide. The great philosopher, George Burns, said this. Yeah, great philosopher. For those of you who know who George Burns is, he said, the secret to a good sermon is to have a good beginning, a good ending, and to have the two as close as possible. Amen. That's right. And so I am going to try to do that. If you have been here and heard me before, you know that it will take a miracle of the Lord to accomplish that. But we will try, okay? But I thought it was good advice, and my wife was reading that to me the other day. I think maybe she was trying to give me a message. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go to the next slide. The title this morning is How Well Do You Know Jesus? Okay, we're going to talk about our relationship with the Lord and where it stands. Next slide gives us some indications. Go ahead and click through the whole thing. I've messed it up probably to where it's difficult. Okay, these are just some ideas of what our relationship with Jesus might look like. Okay, might think of him as a friend. We might think of ourselves as his child. We might think of ourselves in a marital relationship with him, or we might think of ourselves as being one with him. Now, I'm not trying to say that any of these particular types of relationships are better necessarily one than the other. They're all something that we probably have in our relationship with the Lord. But just, you know, there are different kinds of relationships we have, and perhaps your relationship with Jesus falls into one of these different categories a little more than one of the others. And the scriptures there, I'm not going to go through each one of them, but each one of them kind of gives a little idea that that's the type of relationship that is talked about in the Bible. He's talked about as being our friend. He's talked about us as being children of God. It talks about us being in that marriage type of relationship. We are the bride of Christ. And in John 17, Jesus is praying, and he says, I pray that they'll be one, just like you and I, Father, that they'll be one in us, that they'll be one with us. So these are different types of relationships that we can have in our relationship with Jesus. Okay, I think it's important for us to realize that God does want to have a relationship with us. All the way back at the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve. We know what Adam and Eve did. Eventually, they broke God's law. And when they did, the scripture talks about how God came walking in the garden. They heard him walking in the garden. They recognized him walking in the garden. You know what they did? They were afraid, so they hid. God comes around and says, hey, where are you? And they said, well, we heard you walking in the garden and we were afraid, so we hid. The implication is that that wasn't the first time he'd been there. There had been this time when he would come and walk in the garden. They had heard him walking in the garden before, so when he showed up, this time, yeah, they were afraid because they'd done something wrong, but they still recognized him. They recognized him and they were aware that he was there. They had done it before. They had heard him before. So God wanted that relationship with us, and he was with them in that relationship, unfortunately for them and for us, that relationship was broken. Is this thing just a little loud, Bob? It seems like it's ringing. Am I? Huh? Pull it in just a little bit. Okay. There we go. Is that better? All right. Good. Thank you. Okay, so let's take a look a little closer at some of these types of relationships or the kind of relationship. So what do you want your relationship with Jesus to look like? And we'll look at each one of these a little more closely. Do you want your relationship to be like a friend? What's a friend? A friend is someone who you're comfortable to be around, right? You don't pick people to be friends with that you don't like or that you don't feel comfortable being around. You pick someone that fits into you, who you are even, you know. Someone that you're comfortable with, someone that you can be around and just be yourself even. Someone who's trustworthy. You don't want a friend that you have to say, well, can I tell him this? And expect him not to go and tell everyone in the world the same thing, you know. You want someone that you can bond with, someone that you can put some trust in. Someone who's willing to help you out. The guy you can call on Saturday morning and say, hey, I've got a refrigerator I need to move. Would you come and help me? And he'll say, well, sure, I'll be there. Come on over. Or vice versa, that you're willing to help him in the process as well. Someone who's honest. Someone who is going to be straight with you when you need to be straight. Someone that's going to tell you, yeah, you know, you probably hadn't ought to have done that. Or someone who's there to say, yes, that was a good job. Okay, that's one of the kinds of friend, or one of the types of relationships that we could have. We could have this relationship as a friend, and we hopefully have that type of relationship with Jesus, where he is our friend. Someone that we're comfortable to be around. Someone that we trust. Someone that we know who's willing to help us, and someone who's honest with us. Okay, the next one I picked out was a child. Okay, now we have all been children. Many of us have had children, so we kind of have an idea of what they're like. If you haven't had one, at least you've been one, so you know you can be ornery at times, but other than that, a child is dependent, aren't they? They are not ready to just go out and take on the world all by themselves. They need some support. They need the parent to be there to help them out. They need someone there to kind of guide their footsteps. They need love. If you see a child who isn't loved, you can tell, can't you? Those are rough situations when you see someone that's not loved, a child that's not loved. So that child needs that love, needs that encouragement that it draws from the parent. It needs our support as parents. And this is the relationship with Jesus, and he talks about us being his children. He's there for us. He knows that we are dependent, that we need help. He knows that we need love. He knows we need encouragement. He knows that we need the support that he can give us. And the last one I kind of breezed over a little bit. I didn't even mention it the first time through, but we need discipline too, don't we? Well, now that didn't sound very nice. I just soon get by in the relationship without the discipline. You know, it was as a child growing up. Well, if you ask my mother, I was perfect. If you ask my father, you probably wouldn't get the same response. So. But even if you really got my mom down,
She would tell you, yeah, there were times he didn't always do the things that he should have been doing. And you were the same way. Don't kid yourself. You were the same way. You needed a little bit of discipline. And as Christians, our relationship with Jesus, there are times that we need some discipline. And so he's there to do that in the process as well. Not in a mean, hateful, angry way, but in a way that will help us to grow and improve and become who we need to be. So, being a child is another relationship. The next one I want to talk about is the relationship of a marriage. Now, some of you may have not reached that stage yet. Many of you have. But as we talk about it, you can kind of get an idea of what this relationship might look like with Jesus. What's a marriage like? Well, initially, marriage is a commitment. In today's society, this seems to be a rough one for people. You know, we get up and we have our marriage and we express those vows and say, I promise. And then we state those vows that we have. And yet, too many times, we look at those promises later on, and they aren't nearly as important to us later on as they were when we first made them. Do you remember what it was like when you were dating, those of you who are married? When he called you up, and you, back then, for most of us, it was on that thing that was hanging on the wall, you know? And somebody else might get it, and it's, hey, it's so-and-so, you know, your boyfriend or your girlfriend if she's calling you, you know. And, of course, you said, oh, tell him I'll call him back in an hour, right? No. You didn't say that. You ran to that phone, grabbed it, and you were excited to talk to them, you know. It was, that excitement was there, and you wanted that relationship. You were there because you wanted it and you were excited about it. And as we begin our relationship with Jesus, do you remember your relationship with Jesus when you first came into that relationship with him? It was kind of like that, wasn't it? Wow, this is great, you know? And sometimes, just like our marriage relationships, our relationship with Jesus kind of does some of the same kind of thing. It kind of comes down off of that high, and we get into the everyday walk of life, and things seem kind of humdrum, and they're not as exciting as they were. And too many times, because things weren't as exciting as they were, we begin to look for excitement somewhere else, don't we? And looking for excitement somewhere else, we forget that very first one where it says, I'm committed to you. And so the relationship with Jesus is similar to that. I see that happening in my life, and I'm sure you see it happening in your life too. I'm gung-ho, ready to go, and then things aren't as exciting anymore, and, you know, my attention can wane, and the next thing I know, I'm chasing some rabbit somewhere else rather than maintaining that commitment to Jesus. Marriage is a challenge, isn't it? It's not a cakewalk. Marriage takes that commitment. It takes work. It takes the effort that we have to put into it to accomplish what we want it to be like. It's not just a simple situation. And so you and I have to put some work into it. This is true with our relationship with Jesus as well. It's just not a roller coaster ride where it's downhill all the way, you know, and it's smooth sailing. sometimes we have to grit our teeth a little bit and say, Lord, I'm committed to you and I'm going to work at this relationship with you. I'm going to put some effort into it. Marriage is also intimate. You know things about your spouse that no one else knows. Oh, and they do, and they know it about you too. They know things about you that nobody else knows. Goes both ways, you know. Well, let's face it, you're married, you're intimate. Hey, you guys have seen each other naked. You know, this is an intimate situation. And so it is with our relationship with Jesus. It's an intimate relationship that we have. Something that is beyond just the surface situation. It's an intimate situation where we get to know things about him, and he obviously knows everything about us. But we're in that situation where we're learning about him, and we're getting to know more about him all the time. We're getting to know him better. Hopefully our relationship is growing with him. We're drawn closer to him in the process. It is something beyond what we have with other people in the process. Not only is it intimate, but it's also a love type of situation. Now, too many times we have Hollywood's version of love in our mind when we're thinking about our love for our spouse or for Jesus. And we're thinking about those feelings that we have inside of us. And those feelings are great. You know, I like those feelings as much as anybody else does. But love isn't a feeling. Love is a decision that we make. If it was just a feeling, Jesus could not say, this is my command for you, that you love one another as I have loved you. If it was a feeling, he couldn't tell you, you have to do this. It wouldn't be a command. It couldn't make it a command if it was a feeling, because you can't demand someone feel some way. But love, the love that Jesus is talking about is, I want the best for you. I want what is best for you in your life. It's not a feeling. It's about my desire for you and what I desire for you. I want the best for you. So when Jesus says, I command you to love one another as I have loved you, he says, I've wanted the best for you. You need to want the best for others. You say, well, now that's not easy either. And it isn't. It isn't an easy command. But it's more attainable than for me to tell you, I want you to feel really good about somebody. It's easier for me to say, okay, I want the best, even though I may not like them a whole lot, I still want the best for them. And so this relationship is about love as well. I want the best for you. I'm sure if you're married, you've been through that situation where you've lost those feelings that you had right to begin with, those little bubbly feelings inside where you wanted to be with that person all the time. And you've, at some point in your marriage, you've kind of got to a little drier situation. And it's not as exciting as it used to be. That's where this kind of love comes in. And it helps us keep the first one, commitment. Where I want what is best for my partner. I want what is best for them. And if we work on that supposition where I'm working towards doing what's best for them, I want the best for them, then it's easier to maintain that commitment of saying, hey, I'm here and I'm staying here. Because your partner is wanting the same thing for you. I want the best for you as well. Now, there again, it's not always easy to put that one foot in front of the other, but as we do, we can put that foot out there and say, I want to do what's best, and make that step, and then make another step. As we keep making those steps, then sometimes those feelings come back again even, and we begin to have those type of relationships that we had to begin with. Let's move on. Otherwise, I'm going to not get the beginning close to the end, and we're going to be here for a long time. The next one is being one. This one's a little more difficult to describe, but it is knowing and being known. The two things. We know Jesus knows us. There's no question about that. He knows everything about us. But in the process, we begin to know Him. And as we know Him, we can become more like Him. We become more one with Him. And that's what Jesus was praying for there. The night before He was taken to the cross, He was praying for us to be one with Him and the Father. So this is where He's actually wanting us to get to. This is the one relationship that more than likely we are never going to attain while we're here. Once we get to heaven, that's going to be a thing. We are going to be one with Him. And we are striving towards that at this point in time. And we're reaching out in that direction. Okay, so those are the relationships that we have. And there are more. I could have thrown in at least another one that I thought of, or we could have talked about the family where Jesus said, hey, people came to Him and said, your mom and your brothers are outside. And he looked at them and said, my brother, mother and my brothers and my sisters are right here with me. Those who do what I tell, ask them to do, that's my family. And so that's another relationship we could have gone into. I thought four was enough. Okay, so, but it gives you the idea. So, now the real question is, we have these relationships in front of us. The question is, how do I obtain the relationship with Jesus that I want? Because, yeah, those relationships that you talked about were all great, but how do I get there? What's it going to take on my part to reach that type of relationship? Well, it's pretty similar to most any relationship that you develop. How did you get to know your husband or your wife? Well, you talked, didn't you? First off, you were doing some talking. You were communicating. If you don't communicate with someone, you will never get to know them. You may know things about them. Other people may tell you things about them. But if you don't communicate with that other person, you don't ever get anywhere as far as really developing a good relationship is concerned. So communicate. And how do you do that? Well, you talk. And one of the things that Michael keeps impressing upon us, I mean, in our prayer time, and that's what we're talking about as far as talk is concerned with Jesus, in our prayer time, we need to be praying scriptures at times. It's not just, you know, I don't know about you, when I sit down to pray, one of two things either happens. I either have 50 million things running through my mind, and so I have a hard time concentrating on what I'm doing, or I go to sleep. You know, if I really get quiet before the Lord, I'm liable to find myself asleep rather than communicating with Him, listening to Him. I'm trying to get quiet and listen to Him, you know, and next thing I know, I'm waking up and say, well, that was a good nap, but I didn't really have time to spend much time with the Lord, you know. So intentionally having something to pray is good. And one of the places we can go to is the scripture, just like we did with that first scripture. We prayed for Michael. And I'm going to have the scripture that I had them read this morning, and we're going to talk about it in just a little bit as well, is another prayer that Paul prayed. If you want to know some of the best prayers in Scripture, read Paul's letters. That's where the bulk of them are at. And Paul is in his letters. He'll write right along and he'll say, I'm praying this for you guys. And if you go through those epistles, those letters from Paul, and even other writers have them as well. There's these times where, hey, this is what I'm praying for you. They just said, this is it, I'm praying. And so find those, and you can pray those, and you can really find scriptures that will apply either to your life or someone else's that you're praying for. It'll help you, for sure. Second thing is listen. And like I said, sometimes listening is the tougher part than talking. Don't you find that to be true in most relationships that you have? Easier for you to talk sometimes than it is to listen. Quiet time's uncomfortable, isn't it? It can be. Quiet time can be uncomfortable. And yet, I'm sure that you have found in your relationships, I know I found it in Keita and my relationships, that we don't have to talk all the time. Now, she may not feel quite that way. As a man, I probably feel that more than she does. But, you know, it's easier now for us to maintain our relationship and to enjoy our time together. That's where I'm going. It's easier to enjoy our time together, and we don't necessarily have to say anything to just enjoy being together. And so quiet time isn't necessarily a bad thing either, even if nothing's going on. Just sitting in Jesus' presence is good. And once you begin to experience His presence, it's even better. So talk to Him, listen to Him. And the last thing I wrote down is express emotion. God is not afraid of us telling Him how we feel. I had a daughter who would rant on occasionally, and she got to where she'd just keep going, and I'd say, you know, it's okay. You know, I can listen to you. I can hear you. And I said, I want you to understand something else. You can tell God anything you want to tell Him, and He'll listen. And He's not going to throw you out the door just because you're telling Him how you feel. Even if what you feel isn't great, be honest with Him. Express your emotion to Him. That's part of a relationship. If you can't express yourself to your spouse or to your friend or whoever it is you're relating with, and them say, okay, I hear you, then there's a lack in that relationship. There's something that needs to be changed. So be free to express how you feel to God. Read the Psalms. They told Him how, I mean, those writers were telling God, how in the world can you let those evil people keep doing what they're doing? You know, they would rant with God for a while. And God listened to them. And as they poured out their heart and their emotions to God, many times by the end of that psalm, they're saying, yeah, you know, Lord, you're right. You know what's best. And a lot of times that's all it takes for us, is to express our emotions, to get that out there and say, okay, Lord, I understand. And the next thing is time. We just have to give our relationships time. If we're not willing to give a relationship time, the relationship isn't going to grow. It takes engagement. It takes that time of doing it for our relationship to grow. Okay, how do we do that? How do we spend time? Practicing the presence of God. I don't know whether you've ever heard that expression or not. It actually comes from a book by Brother Lawrence. And he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence, or someone wrote, I think, it down. These were different thoughts that he had expressed, and they wrote it down called Practicing the Presence of God. And that practicing the presence of God, it's a spiritual exercise that challenges us to remain focused on God during our everyday tasks or chores. It's a spiritual approach to life that asks us to break down barriers that distract us from God's presence. So what I'm actually saying here is for us to walk through each day acknowledging that God is still right there beside us in the midst of what we're doing. Too many times we get distracted and our world consumes us and completely takes us away from our relationship with the Lord. And this practicing the presence of God is just saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to go about what I'm doing today. I'm going to keep doing it, and yet I want you here with me. And it takes some time, and I'm not perfect at it, that's for sure. But if you can do that, let God just engage in your life. Not necessarily thinking about him all the time. It's just that inner release of allowing God to be there with you. Okay. Now we'll go back to Philippians chapter 1. I've got to get done for sure. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 says, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." Okay, so what does that mean? Well, I don't know what you do. For some of what I do is to help me spend time with the Lord is I've got the YouVersion app. Okay, and on the YouVersion app, it always has the verse of the day. And you can read that, and that's what I used to do. And then I got to where I would go a little farther. Well, they've gone a little farther themselves, and they have what they call the story. And if you hit that little button called the story, then it has the verse of the day. It has someone who talks about, just gives a little short devotion about an explanation of the verse. And then it goes on and has a reading that goes on with it, and then a prayer at the end of it that you can pray as well. And so it kind of extends out your time with the Lord a little bit in the process. They give you a tool to help you accomplish that. Well, I was listening to the guy talk about this verse, and this was a verse that was in this week. His name was Ben Stewart, and this is what he said about this verse. Paul prays that our love would abound with knowledge so that we can discern what God desires and do that. Information, and he's talking about knowledge when he's talking about information, is the fuel for our affections. And he's talking about love, when the word love in the verse, when he's talking about affections. He says, our affections determine our course of action. If you want to love God, load your minds with thoughts of God, and then ask God to turn that information into affection. And your affection will become action. Okay, so when Paul says, I pray that your love may abound with knowledge, and that knowledge will give you discernment. So your love may abound with knowledge so that I know what to do to please God. That's what he's saying. I'm praying that for you. And that's what I'm praying for you all who are here today, that your love would abound with knowledge and discernment, so that you can please God. Okay, skip that page. We'll go to the next one. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, and I don't think I have any slide for this one, it says, "We all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another." Focus your eyes upon Jesus. And as you focus your eyes upon Jesus, your relationship with Him will grow. And you will be transformed from who you are into who He wants you to be. And you will be changed, as the verse here says, from one degree of glory to the next. When we get to heaven, we will be one with the Lord at that point in time. Today, I've talked mainly about our relationship with Jesus for those of us who have a relationship with Jesus. But that doesn't mean that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that you cannot have one with Him. You can. And we want you to have one with Him so that you can start to obtain these same things. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then contact some one of us here. We'll help you with that. We'll get you in touch with Him for sure. We'll lead you to that point of acknowledging Him as your Lord and Savior and start building that relationship with you. You guys can come on back up and get ready to... Oh, you're not going to. These guys are. That's right. I forgot. You guys can get ready. Okay, good. We got Kayla to actually sing too. Good. All right. I was afraid I was going to have to. We're going to sing a song, and the name of the song is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. As we sing this song, let's kind of commit ourselves this week to turning our eyes more to Jesus, allowing Him to make us more like Him.
If you could stand with us. Ooh, this is loud. Turn to 621 if you want to use your hymnal, and we're going to do verses 1 and 3.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org. Or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.